Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Hi there, and welcome everybody to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk, inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come in and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and hopefully wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and hopefully a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names, if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers, light workers, light bearers, spiritual empaths, and that list, it goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our very own individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter and that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Deb Schiller today and Barbara Mackey, our wonderful guest, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. We're going to be doing readings shortly, and if you'd like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. Don't wait too long. It does fill up. Deb will be in the chat room, managing the chat room. And if you have any questions, she's the one you should IM. I won't respond to you because I won't see your message. So if you feel like chatting to nobody, then that's the place you send your message to, because it will definitely, it'll go right by me. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at www.nativestorytellers.com if you want to learn more about that amazing voice. I'm at www.barbaradelong.com, and my special guest today is at www.barbaramackey.com. Before we get involved with readings and talking to Barbara, of course, she hasn't arrived yet, so we're not going to talk to her till she does. Of course, I could channel her, but no, we won't go there. Before we get involved with the readings, I want to share with you some very special shows that I highly recommend to those seeking spiritual surroundings, insight, and wisdom. Maybe not all of those, but at least one or two of them. With so many shows on BTR, it's hard to decide where to share your time, and I know that there are thousands and thousands of spiritual shows out there, and it can get confusing. It's not that I don't recommend others, it's just that I haven't experienced them, so I can't recommend them. There are shows that I love and I frequent often because of the material and the spiritual energy that they radiate. Monday through Thursday on the Wolf and the Bear Network, you'll find the most magical way for starting your day with morning blessings with Bear Medicine Walker. That's at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also on the Wolf and the Bear on Wednesdays and Fridays is Visionary Times with Bear Medicine Walker and the Reverend Ann Rose, and that's at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. They have wonderful guests on there, and the conversation is always scintillating and challenging and provocative. If you don't go now, I just can't imagine what I could say that would send you there. Also on the Wolf and the Bear Network on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. is Ken Quiet Hawk's show, and that's called Hawk's Nest. It's a trip down memory lane that's totally addictive if you love the early radio shows of the past, as do I. And, you know, I do warn you, you will get so caught up in them that it will be something that you do over and over and over again. It's magical, and it sends you back to your childhood in some of our cases, and in other cases it will open you up to some of the magic that was created before television. And to me, it's more exciting than television because you close your eyes and you picture what's happening, and it's an amazing experience. His partner, Deborah New Moon Rising, has her show, and that's On My Mind with Mama Moon, and that's at 1 p.m. on Tuesdays as well on The Wolf and the Bear. And then to decompress or decompose, whichever is your choice, every night from 10 to 12 is Curious Times with Chris. It's a place to unwind and gather with other light-minded folks and let your hair down. The guests are always amazing. She has always a fresh batch of them, and I'm not sure. She must cook them up in her garage or something. She's always got tarot readers or mediums or people that have spiritual aspects to what they do, and I guarantee you'll never be bored. There are always surprises at that hour of the night, and her laugh is probably the most infectious thing you'll ever, 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 ever hear. Renee Richards, her show is on Friday, and I do believe she also does one on Wednesday, a teaching show, I believe, and her show is Psychic Medium Renee Richards. So she is also a magical person. You're going to want to check her out. She is also a guest on this show, too, of which I'm very, very proud. Among other things, she's an amazing, amazing medium, and it makes Chris really jealous, and I like doing that just because it's fun to make Chris jealous. But she does it in a healthy manner. My guest today, who is not yet here, but I know she's going to be turning up shortly. She's amazing, talented, and inspirational lady. Hold on, I just got a blip. She is here. Oh, okay. Well, then I will. Well, I'm still going to say what I was going to say about her. She's here. Okay. Jessica, Amy, Lorena. I see. She is here. Hi, Barbara. I'm not bringing her on yet because I don't like to bring people on before I say so many good things about them. I don't want, you know, I embarrass people sometimes because I am so thrilled that she is here. She's talented and inspirational. She's a sixth-generation psychic medium of Hungarian and Scottish background who's had premonitions since the age of 4. Her Hungarian grandmother was a dream interpreter and a psychic. Her Dr. Samuel Kennedy, her Scottish ancestor, was a dreamer of dreams and a seer of visions who had the Scottish sixth sense. And through her many years as a psychic, Barbara has been able to realize her dream of helping people by using her gift to read clients, now numbering in the many, many thousands. And I would imagine it's probably even more than that. They report startling accuracy in her detailed readings. Her work is holistic in nature, unlike other clairvoyants. She reads the whole person, encompassing body, mind, and spirit. And her background demonstrates a psychic power that includes documented medical cases and working with the police on unsolved murder cases. Her clientele emanate from every walk of life, and word of her extraordinary abilities has prompted calls from all over the world. She's been the subject of numerous newspaper and magazine articles. She's made public appearances, taught, lectured, and read throughout the U.S., Canada, and Europe. And she's currently working on a book chronicling her 30 years of psychic career entitled The Life of a Psychic. And her website is www.barbaramackey.com. I mean, it's an overwhelming bio, and it's profoundly enlightening, and you kind of think, and I talked her into doing the show. I just think this is so cool, and I'm so delighted. She is amazing and talented, and she has one of the best names ever. And so I'm going to pull Barbara on. Hi, Barbara. How are you doing today?
Hi, Barbara. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so delighted that you decided to fit us into your schedule, because it's always exciting to have somebody that spent as long in the trenches as I have.
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah, we're in the foxhole together, Barb. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, have you found lately, one of the things that I am finding lately that is just, it's I'm sitting back and wondering, what is going on? There are so many depressed people around lately. Is there something in the air? I'm alarmed by it, because, you know, I've been listening just for the heck of it. I've gone into a lot of the other shows and listened to the callers that are calling in, and the depression seems palpable, and it's not usually as extreme as it is these days. Are you sensing there is a shift of some sort or something?
Yeah. Well, you could look at it a couple of ways, because I'm very logical as a psychic. I'm really grounded, quite grounded, compared to a lot of other psychics that say things that sound kind of loopy. I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying that we work in a different way. And I'm sort of like a detective. I have to mention, too, that I've done Animal Planets, The Haunted, for 4 years. So if they go on Netflix, they can look up The Haunted, and I've got some shows on there, and also
cool.
Discovery ID, Deadly Affairs, about a murder case that I was working on. But, I am a conspiracy kind of gal. I'm into conspiracies big time, and a lot of people laugh, and they're like, oh, you know. But I just feel things before they even happen, and I know a lot goes on underneath the surface of what we can't see, the average, every normal day person can see. I'm getting it before it happens, and I think that's what's happening to a lot of people now. I remember in the 80s, everyone was so joyous and having, you know, free love, free drinks. Everybody was in a different kind of mode mentally. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we were talking about antidepressants then. I think people still had panic attacks and they still had depression. But I don't think it was as all-consuming as it is now. I think that people are becoming more in touch with their psychic abilities, which we all have, the sixth sense. I do believe that. We just don't know how to utilize it. But I think they're in touch with what's going on universally. It's almost like, we're communicating unconsciously with mm-hmm. other countries, with other cultures. I mean, think about it. In the 1920s, when people were doing the Charleston, did they think about the people in Africa starving?
No.
No.
No, you've got a
Nobody
good
knew what was going on around the corner. You know, they could care less. But now we're being, all this bad information is coming at us every day. You know, we're on overload. Our brains are on overload. You turn on the news, and it's bad news. People being, you know, blown up in theaters. It's like it's taking effect on people on a broader scale than just, you know, what happened around the corner that Johnny, you know, shot someone, and that maybe that years ago would have been like something that never happened. It was like, oh, my God, that's outrageous. But now it's an everyday occurrence. Why wouldn't people be depressed? I mean, the answer is not why are they, why wouldn't they be?
Well, Well, that's true. And a lot of the medications that people are being given for depression, you know, really causes depression. So you're right that the news and the technology that we have today certainly makes us more and more aware of the tragedy that is all over the world.
Exactly. You know,
there should be a channel for good news. There should be a good news channel. I mean,
you go on Facebook, you want a little levity, and what do you see? Dogs that are run over and beat up, and cats that are being, you know, skinned alive in China, and you're like, I didn't know this happened. You know, it's like there's no relief from it unless you just turn off everything and you isolate yourself, and you don't even, you know, you just isolate yourself. You're an isolationist. There was a time when I used to travel. I was in sales before I did this full time, and I had 3 states or 4 states that was my territory. And I was a woman alone. It was in the 80s. I used to stay in hotels by myself, walk the streets at night, go to a restaurant, go to different clubs. I was never afraid for my life. Would I do that today? No.
No.
I would do that today. So it shows you how we've become so fear-based, and people have this fear. They're living at a state of fear economically. Am I going to, you know, I lost my job. Things have changed so dramatically. I see it within the last 20 years. Even in the last 10 years, it's become really bad. So why, you know, when people say to me, oh, I have cancer, or I have this, I have that, And I'm thinking to myself, you're lucky if you're well. You know, it's like being healthy is not as, how am I going to put this? I just did a reading, so I feel a little screwed up. You know how that is when you do a reading, you feel off balance.
Yeah.
this woman was from London, so you have to bear with me if I can't get my thoughts together. So anyway, if you... Being sick is the norm. Being healthy is not the norm. Do you know what I'm saying? So
true.
When people say, why am I sick? Well, you know, better ask, you know, why aren't you? You know, everybody is sick, you know, as they get older, and you sort of expect that, or you expect something from left field to get you sooner or later. Being healthy is like really a surprise. Like, oh, I'm healthy,
yeah.
You know? I don't take any medication. I don't do this. I don't do that. So that's not the norm. So as far as you're saying that, you know, people are depressed.
Yeah.
I mean, is it any wonder why they're depressed?
Oh, no.
I mean, this
None
whole conversation is depressing.
Well, you know, and,
oh, my
and, you
God,
know,
it's the end of the world. Oh, my God. No. No, yeah, it's like, I don't feel that way. I am so, like, looking straight and doing my work, and I've got my head down, and I'm diligent, and I'm helping one each person. And I know the bigger picture, but I don't have control over it. And I think people don't feel that they have control over their lives to a certain degree. They don't feel comfortable. In the 50s, people felt in control. They didn't think about these things.
No, that's true. And, you know, it's really funny because I am, I guess, unusual because, frankly, I'm very happy. You know, life is good.
I'm happy just to, listen, I say if you're not suffering from a terminal illness, if you're not in a nut house, if you don't have an addiction, and if you're not on life support, it's a good day. What do you have to be upset about? I've walked through the fires of hell in this lifetime, and I'm not complaining about it because it made me the person that I am, but I know what it is to have the last rites. I know what it is to dream about someone dying and they die and identifying their body. I know these feelings, and I'm just so happy I wake up every day and I can think straight and I can work and I can be I'm happy with the little things.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have found that I was talking to somebody today and I said I recommended to her to do something that I did a long time ago. I took a ring and I engraved on it, "And this too shall pass." And,
oh, yeah.
And I wore it constantly because no matter how bad or how good it is, it's always going to pass, and there's always going to be a new page, a new story to your book, the book of your life. and mm-hmm. and to look around and just, you know, want to stay on one page, that's ridiculous. That's mm-hmm. that's silly. You know, come mm-hmm. on, it's going to pass. And you know, I think actually she got off so she could go to the jewelry store and get a ring and have it engraved, because it helped me so much through a time in my life where everything felt like it was falling apart. And I just knew that, okay, sometimes things have to fall apart so you can build better things. And that's exactly mm-hmm. what happened. And mm-hmm. and so it's I am accused of being Pollyanna-ish, but I got to tell you, it's made for a happier life. It truly has. And mm-hmm. and I'm so grateful for the friends and for the cool things that have happened to me. That and could I sit down and put trauma on the table, you know, that would blow people away like everybody can? Sure, mm-hmm. but it's more fun to laugh at the stupidity and say, I tried this, it didn't work. You know, how did mm-hmm. you get through this, you know? So,
exactly. Yeah, you know, when I think about the things that happened to me that were major, major traumas, when I had the dream of my boyfriend's death before he died, and then, you know, I tried to tell him to come home that night, and he didn't, and then I got a call from the hospital. It was just like the dream. I had to identify his body. And I thought at that time, this is the end of my life. I can't go on. I might as well be dead too. And then I kept saying why, and then I was reaching out to, at that time I wasn't doing readings. I was reaching out to other mediums. First time I really started going to psychics. I didn't know I was mm-hmm. psychic myself. And I figured it out myself. He died in order for me to live. He mm-hmm. removed himself from this earth plane so I could do this work, because I didn't know that I had this gift until I started to investigate, trying to get in touch with him. And they said, you know, you're very psychic yourself. You're going to be doing this work. And I thought, that's outrageous. I will never be doing this work. You know, I why would I be doing this work? Then I had a block. You know, I didn't really know that I was psychic. And then when they started doing stories about me, I mm-hmm. remembered incidents, and things were coming back to me in little dribs and drabs. And I've been doing this all my life since I was a kid, you know, looking at people, evaluating them, getting the real deal on them, reading them, you know, sitting mm-hmm. across the room and reading people. And so out of this very horrible situation, this traumatic situation, came good. Because if he didn't remove himself, I would have never been doing this work. So I could see how it worked out, you know, and the biggest, you know, downfalls in my life, I was like, oh, devastated about this or that. It made room for something else. And I know people don't understand that. Yeah, and when they come to me, I had this girl come to me the other day. My heart was breaking for her. I did some channeling. Her husband just died in front of her, and he was very young. She was trying to bring him back to life, and her heart was breaking, and I started to cry with her because I could feel her pain. And I wanted to say, but it was too early. You know, believe it or not, you're going to get through this, and you're going to be stronger than ever. And you're going to live another life. And that you don't want to hear that when you're going through that, because you just can't believe it.
Well, you know, it's this field has literally saved my life a number of times. It's given me purpose and direction when things got tough. And mm-hmm. it's brought me comfort and joy when you know, maybe I couldn't see it in my own life at that time. And it is eased me through massive big things all the time, and I am so grateful for it. It has been a joy, and it has been a thrill, and I've done it for 50 years, and I'm really hopeful I can do it another 50 and just make everybody crazy. So
I often say that, you know, when I pass into the other world, I'll probably be doing a reading, and my head will slam down on the table, and they'll be like, Barbara, but you didn't answer my question. Is my boyfriend coming back? I'll be like, dead. Well, dead is a mackerel, you know? But, you know, I really, at times I wanted to walk away from this. I was like, I'm done with this, because it was too painful for me to realize that I could only bring people so far, and they had their free will to do mm-hmm. exactly as they pleased. And I used to feel like I was going to have a nervous breakdown when I first did this, and I just did too much work. I remember my boyfriend at the time saying, a different boyfriend, he said, if you want longevity, you have to pace yourself. You can't overdo because they're taking your energy. And he was smarter than me. He was a scientist, and I was like, energy? What's energy? I was like, energy? I was like a ditzy blonde, I'll tell you. I used to run away and go to hotels for the weekend and swim because water's really great for you, when you feel like you're on overload. But I just really worked myself almost into the grave, and I had to step back and say, listen, I can't do this like this, because it's killing me. Because I would literally at times fall down, from the energy that would be coming towards me, and I'd have to go to bed for days. Now, I know a lot of psychics don't feel this. Not at all. Sometimes they say to me, I feel energized when I do a reading, and I look at them. Well, sometimes when you're reading for someone that has good energy and the energy goes back and forth, yes, you can feel uplifted, but it always gets you in the end, maybe not right then, but maybe 2 hours later, you might get a headache, you might feel tired, but people don't talk about that. It's very tiring, the work, excuse me, and I don't know, how did you get started in this, Barbara? I don't even know how you did this.
I initially was shoved in this direction when a UFO landed on my campus and I saw it. And then years later, I was in a psychic development group in a spiritualist church, and because I was looking for, I just felt that there was more, and I wasn't really sure exactly where to go. And I developed mediumship there, and I thought I was faking.
Yeah, I know. You think you're making it up. I know.
Because I've got a great imagination. And everything I said, people would say, oh, yeah, I can relate to that. And it was kind of like, oh, they are so gullible.
Exactly.
After 7 years, they convinced me that, I did something very naturally that a lot of people struggle to learn how to do. It's always, this work has always been fun for me, and there are times when, of course, I get very serious, but for the most part, I think that the more laughter you can bring into people's lives, the easier it is for them to deal with whatever it is they have to deal with. So I will gently get people into a place where there's laughter, and then I know that, so healing is just around the corner. All they have to do is hang on to the laughter, and they'll get there. And so I taught school for 25 years. I have 2 master's degrees, and I'm an ordained minister and all sorts of other stuff, too. And it was never my intent to do this.
I understand completely.
And if anybody had 40 years ago said, oh, you're going to do this, professionally, I would have given them car fare to the nearest shrink. I would have, you're a lunatic, you're out of your mind, and I will never do stuff like that in here.
Exactly.
And my theory is that this is just my theory. So, it's not meant to, please don't all take my theory, because, if there's not difference out there, there's no fun. But I truly believe that a certain level of psychic, they're born. Everybody has intuition. Everybody can develop their intuition. But but to take it to those other levels, you have to be born into it. And it doesn't necessarily mean that genetically it comes through the family, though in your case it does. But it just feels to me as though it's just something that is there, and it calls to you, and you can't deny it. And it doesn't call to everybody.
No, well, it happened with me with a traumatic episode that brought it to the forefront. I have to tell you, I was in the hospital for 3 days, I don't know, maybe 7 months ago. I went to, I have these fainting spells. It's called syncope, where your blood pressure falls, and I was out to dinner with a friend, and I held on to her, and she said it looked like I was having like an epileptic seizure, and you feel like you're going to black out. And she got really scared. She goes, it looks like you had, like, your eyes were rolling back. And I was like, you guess, you know. So yeah. She says, it looks like you were leaving the earth plane, leaving your body. And I was like, I've had these before. Like, I'll be in TJ Maxx, and all of a sudden I'm, like, down on the floor. Because if you hit the floor, your blood pressure will go up. And I'm laying there, and people walking over me, you know, and I'm like, help, help, help. And they're like, oh, would you, we'll lean over her, let's see the sail on this glass here, you know. So anyway, I go to the neurologist. He goes, let's do an EEG just for the heck of it. And he didn't expect anything. He says, I want to put you in the hospital. I go, for what? He goes, your brain waves are not normal. And I was like, oh, well, okay. So what else is new, you know, because he knows the work that I do. So they hooked me up with all these wires, and they put me in a room by myself, and I had all these wires, and I was allowed out of the room like 15 minutes, like three times a day, but they'd have to walk with me. They were afraid I was going to fall down. And they saw me 24 hours. I was on camera. And the guy came, you know, the doctor came in and said, you know, your brain waves are like not normal. But we find this in cases with people that are highly religious or the work that you do. And I think that there should be a study with that.
I agree.
That would be very interesting, wouldn't it?
When I had my car accident, one of the things that I had a severe car accident that made me stop teaching. And one of the things they insisted was that I be in therapy for, you know, 6 months. And I was fine with that. And they wanted me to take a test. And I had been with this psychologist for a while, and I had gone in and said, you know, I don't know that I have any issues, but if you see anything that's wrong with me, let's work on it. I have to be here. And she finally said, you know, you're the healthiest person I've ever met. So...
Mm-hmm.
So basically we worked on her clients, but then when they wanted this test done, she gave it to me. She said, just be honest, Barb, everything is fine. And I said, and I looked at it and I said, this is a setup, isn't it? And she said, why? And I said, first question, I see things. He said, yeah, I'm a psychic and a medium. I do. And the next question was, I hear things. I said, yes, I do. And the next question was, I feel like I'm being followed, and because of the car accident, I was being followed by a private detective. And I said to her, if I answer all these questions truthfully, they're going to commit me. And so the results came back that either I was telling
paranoid
the truth,
schizophrenic,
or I was an exceptional liar. I agree with you. I think there should be studies, but I don't want to be the one that studied. So,
yeah, I felt like a little lab rat, you know. But I was interested to see how it all played out, and I found it to be enlightening. And they were like scratching their heads. It was funny when the doctor walked in. You can't stop it sometimes, and it's free-floating thoughts that just come out of your mouth. And I don't do it with everyone because I give them their space. I'm not going to come up to a complete stranger and say things. But as he walked in, I said, you drive a black car, don't you? Because I saw him coming over in a black car. He goes, yeah. I go, oh, okay. He goes, why? I go, oh, no, I just saw you in this black car, but I want you to be careful because I saw you going through a stop sign. You're not really with it when you're driving. And his eyes widened. And then I was telling him some personal things about it. It was just coming out. And he just looked at me. He goes, oh, well, thank you for the information. So,
cool.
It doesn't always happen. I mean, I try to turn it off, which I do. Like if I'm out at a gathering, people say, can you tell me something? I go, no, I'm off duty. You know,
yeah,
please.
I usually grab a glass of wine and say, I never read when I'm drinking. which is not really true, but sometimes if it's with close friends, I'm a lot better with a glass of wine in me. But we've got a lot of people sitting here in the queue. and we could probably talk for the whole afternoon and not even get to them. So what I figure is I usually throw somebody I know well under the bus to get the first reading with a new reader so everybody can hear how you read, if that's okay with you.
Oh, I didn't know we were doing readings. Hmm.
Oh, we got
okay.
We got a lot of people.
I thought we were just
going to
talk. I don't know why I had that impression. Okay. I know. I thought I must be thinking of something else. Did we not discuss this or whatever? And I don't know,
yeah,
but
we
go
did.
Ahead.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
But yeah, so many things are going on in my life. So go ahead. Yeah,
I am right with you on that one. but yeah, this is definitely a reading show.
Okay.
So I'm going to pull on somebody that I know so that they can get the first reading so that people can hear how you read. And, again, your website is www.barbaramackey.com in case people want to call for a lengthier reading. But I'm going to get Chris on the line. Hi, Chris. Are you there?
Hello, Pollyanna. I mean, Barbara.
Oh, please.
Hello, Barbara Squared. How are you both doing?
Hi.
Doing well. Oh, that's right. It is Barbara Squared, isn't it? Hadn't thought of it that way. No waiting. And Chris has her own radio show on every night from 10 to 12 called Curious Times.
Oh, okay.
So,
what is that? What kind of show is that?
It's readers and... Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead. Describe your show.
It's undefinable. Actually, I do, you know, we mostly have a lot of readers, but I use my show for people, gives people a chance to, that are new to this, to get some practice, you know, doing readings for more than just friends or family. And then I get some well-seasoned people like Barbara.
What kind of accent do you have? Where are you from?
I'm from Canada.
That's what I thought. Yeah, okay.
And I don't have an accent.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, no, we just kind of have, we have shows sometimes where we just talk about, you know, whatever's going on, metaphysical stuff, topics, paranormal, you name it. Mostly it's a lot of readings and stuff like that. But anyways, mm-hmm. It's been really enjoyable listening to you. Nice to meet you.
Oh, thanks. What's your question?
Well, I see that you're a medium, so I don't know how you do your mediumship if you want a person to specify someone that they're looking for or just say if you're picking up any messages from anyone around right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the first thing I got when I heard your voice was medical problems. Are you having any medical problems now?
I hope, well, you know, I mean, not anything terribly alarming that I know of, no.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was getting something in the chest area, for some reason. And when I say these things, sometimes people don't recognize what I mean, but it will happen or you'll be on the lookout for it. Do you understand?
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Have you had any problems with your lungs or your heart?
No, not really. Like, I mean, I quit smoking a couple years ago, and that fixed my lung problems, you know what I mean? So,
did you have lung problems in the past?
Well, I coughed a lot, you know what I mean? And I would get bronchitis, you know, if I caught the flu.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was picking up initially when I heard your voice was health issues. Now, maybe it's not you. Maybe it's the person in the past that had this. I don't know, but that's what I was getting.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that, does that make sense in any way?
I didn't have a particular person on my mind, but like I did recently, a lot of us here on Blog Talk, a friend of ours died just a few days ago, actually. And he had problems with his lungs.
Who died? Maybe I'm picking him up.
I don't want to say just yet, Barbara. Hang on, okay? Don't feed the psychic.
Okay. you know, maybe that's what I'm picking up, you know, and it's a man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't get him as being, very old.
Oh, what's old?
Well, you know, he's not in his 80s or anything like
no,
that.
No, No.
Like in his, was he like in his 60s, his late 60s?
I think so. Yeah, I think he was
really. Yeah. But that, I think that's what I'm picking up then. Maybe it was him. Do you know a Richard? You know, and this is how it goes too. Sometimes I'm picking up the energy of Barbara or someone that's calling in next. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I'm getting the name Richard.
Richard from long ago who may well be gone.
Okay. So, you know, it could be past or future. And also I get the name Charles or Charlie. They call him Charlie.
Okay.
Who's that?
That's my father.
Okay. That's your father? Oh, this is the way
it
works.
You quit stealing my reading, Barbara.
Yeah, she's like, well, you know, that's the way it goes, you know. And your dad's passed, Barb?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, there you go. Did he have lung problems or heart problems?
Heart.
See? Oh, yeah, this is the way it goes. I can't really, I mean, I'm getting all these, it's like all these wires are crossed, you know. But anyway, what did you want to know about this man that passed?
If he's there, you know, I'm expecting him, quite frankly, at some point, and I realize it's just,
Okay. Well, I guess you expected him, and I guess he's trying to make, like, a breakthrough, but he goes, you're a very impatient person. Is that true?
It could be said about me. Barbara,
is that
Barbara,
true?
Barbara DeLong.
Yes, it could
be said. Barbara DeLong. Deborah.
Yeah, he's going, and he goes, how's he putting this now? You're impatient and like something like smarty pants, like, oh, yeah, we know you know it all. And he's like joking, making a joke out of it.
Yeah. Sure.
But he goes, don't worry, in due time, you know, you'll hear from me. He said, but I don't, you know, Barbara, before when you were saying you wonder if you're imagining what you're saying is true?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, what, you know, don't grill the poor psychic, you know. So, you know, you'll be hearing from me, yeah.
Well, what I was going to say was I'm expecting him to drop a couple of EVPs on my show one of these days, and I'm in no rush, and so.
Oh, he goes, yeah, you're in no rush? You're always in a rush. Don't give me that. You're always in a rush. He goes, when I feel like it, I'll do it on my own time, you know, I'll do it.
I think you got his voice down, too.
Yeah. All right, so we're done. We're done here.
Okay.
Well,
okay, thanks, Christine.
Okay,
is it Christine?
Chris. Yeah. Chris is good. Yeah,
Chris. Okay,
you.
Chris.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay.
Thank you,
okay.
I will see you. I'll talk to you later, Chris. Bye-bye.
I have no idea what I was talking about there at all.
No, her show
know.
Is...
What?
No, you got the person that passed. They told me who it was. You would love her show. She is about as entertaining as they come. Actually, she doesn't have to do anything. She just has to talk, and she's hysterical. So
yeah.
She's amazing. Okay, we've got Jessica here. Hi, Jessica. How's it going today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question for you, Barbara, is that I have several items up for sale, and it sounds really stupid, but it's been stressing me out. Like, one of the things is a couch, and I really want to be selling it now. I need to sell it before I move, and I just wanted to know what you picked up. I mean, the items are just hanging around my apartment, and... Again, like, I just keep on listing them and relisting them, and I don't know what's holding it up.
Can I just say something? Your name is Jessica?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you need the money? I mean, do you really need the money on these items?
Because
I'm the type of person, I don't, you know, even when I need the money, I just give it away because I can't be bothered, you know. I'm one of those, like, here, take it, you know, take it off my hands. Somebody want it?
Yeah, I used to be like that, but I thought that I would sell it this time.
Do you have it on eBay or anything like that?
No, I have it on a local website.
Put it on eBay. You'll get rid of it in a day.
Hey, Jessica, I gotta go along with Barbara. The first thing that I got was donate it and take a tax write-off on it, but I don't see it selling. I can see you making money from it by donating it.
You could do that, but you could also put it on eBay. I've never done that. I've never done eBay because I'm too lazy. I've got so much stuff I could put on eBay and probably make a ton, but I don't have the patience for it. You know, I'd rather just give it to someone. But, you know, if you really need the money, put it on eBay. It'll go in one day. That's my suggestion to you.
The couch? I haven't had good experience with eBay. It's like a lot of, but eBay is for you to ship it somewhere. Like, I can't ship this couch. It's huge. And I have other items that are big,
too. No, but sometimes don't people pick things up? Like, my son sells cars on eBay, and the people pick them up.
Yeah, on Craigslist, too.
Yeah, people
pick them up. Well, That's where I have it listed.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe it's the universe. I mean, if you're desperate for the money, it'll come. Probably within another week or so, you'll get a hit on it. But, you know, just stick it out. And did you put things up in supermarkets and things like that?
Yeah, they don't have anywhere to list things around here. It's really strange.
Where do you live?
I am in Florida.
In Florida?
But
and they don't have
anything? I've been asking.
Yeah?
No, it's not. It's hard to explain. But they don't have, like, bulletin boards that you can place things.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asking a lot of people about these different items if people need them, and I don't know if there's something that I'm doing to block it, but I want this stuff out, and I have like a lot of anxiety about it that I want to sell the items before I move, you know, because then I'm going to end up donating them.
Yeah. When are you moving?
Within the next 2 weeks.
I just get out of the blue someone's going to buy it maybe within a week. You have it on Craigslist now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I get that, you know. But I also get the name Robert. Who's that?
I don't know a Robert. Not now.
In the past?
In spirit.
No, not in spirit. There's a Robert from many years ago, work.
Okay. I don't know why I'm getting this name, so it could be for the next person. I don't know. But, you know, you're really stressing out over this. And how about a garage sale? Have you had that?
I've thought about that, but I live alone, so it's kind of weird to be having people, and I don't have that many items to be having people here.
Listen to me.
I don't know. I mean, anything
you can have
that
a friend come over with you,
move.
Drag the couch out, put a price on it. People will go by and they'll get a truck and pick it up. That's my advice to you, and you'll sell it within a week. Okay?
Okay.
That's what I get. All right? Thank you for calling.
Okay, thanks,
all right,
Jessica.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You know, she had an excuse for every suggestion.
Don't get me started.
Okay. I could go a half hour on that one too. Okay, so we've got Lorena here.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Barbara, when's your birthday, by the way?
March 3rd.
Oh yeah, Pisces. Okay, I'm a Sag, so you know we have a little tolerance, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I have Scorpio rising. And Scorpio rising, so that makes it even worse. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. We've got Lorena here. Hi, are you there, Lorena?
Yes, can you hear me?
Can hear you.
Hello?
Fine.
Oh, good.
How can we help?
Well, I was hoping to reach my husband who passed away.
Mm-hmm.
No, Barb.
Do you have a son?
Yes, I do.
Why is he saying that he's concerned about his son?
Because he's a little controlling, and he said the baddest.
Excuse me?
Well, I'm sorry. What son did you say? I just want to make sure I'm right.
He's concerned about one of the sons. He's saying.
Yeah. Okay. That makes
so
sense.
So fill me in. What's going on here?
He's a little controlling and a little.
Abusive?
Yeah.
Okay. He goes, well, you know, you don't have to take this. And if it gets out of control, just call someone for help. Have you done that?
I have.
And he might have to be, you know, arrested or put someplace because he's out of control. Have you done that yet?
Well, he works for me, and he's my only employee. And so I kind of depend on him to go to work. And
Well, you can always get someone else to employ. I think this is such a like combustible relationship that it could go at any time. And he's concerned about your welfare because he just says, you know, he needs help and you need to stop, you know, giving him permission to act out of control. Do you understand?
I do.
So that's the message.
Yeah.
Unless you have something to say, Barbara.
Yeah, I do. It feels here as though your issue really isn't your son, it's you. It's what you're allowing. And this is kind of a message to for you to get strength and backbone and courage. It's okay to stand up for yourself. And I know you were not taught to do that, but quite often the most spiritual thing to do is to stand up for yourself and not let people take advantage of you. And I have to tell you that even though he may be your only employee, you can fire him and hire someone else. And maybe getting the strength to fire him and taking away the support that you are giving him would be good for both of you. And
yeah,
and I know it's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know it's...
Go ahead, Barb. I'm sorry.
No, I know it's scary, but you have the courage and you have the strength and you know that this is probably a direction you need to go in. You have been shoved down and allowed people to control you for a very, very long period of time. This is the cycle that is needful for you to break, and I know how frightening it may be, but once you break it, then you step out of that form that other people have created for you in it, and you allow yourself to become the wonderful person that you have inside. You're kind and you're giving and you're loving, and sometimes you just want to preserve the peace and you don't want to have any waves. But the reality is a tsunami can clean up everything real fast, and you know, you can start to become your own person. And I do see that you know, you're right at that place. You're right at that breaking point. And it feels like your husband is, you know, he did help to keep things balanced better. And since he's been gone, your son has sort of decided to become the controller.
Absolutely.
And you know, your husband was kinder. And you know, he kept a very good balance. But your son has no boundaries. And frankly, and I'm not saying you have to smack him into shape, but I am saying you can take away the things that he feels entitled to until he earns them. How old is he?
26.
Oh,
no,
forget
it. Fire his ass.
And I still have three little ones, though. I have three little ones that I, you know, it's I just have a full plate, and I have no, you know, my husband died, and I just...
I know, but you can hire somebody else. You know, he's out of control. And, you know, I don't get a good feel for this kid. I feel that, you know, this could turn bad. Like, he could get violent. Has he gotten violent?
Yes.
You know, I don't get a good feel here. You know, it's... No. He needs help. He needs to, like, get away from you. And you need to hire someone else, a man. A man, you know? So maybe you should put, you know, the feelers out there. And I wouldn't want him really around me because he just doesn't have it all together, you know? That's what I have to say.
Okay.
All right.
And you know, I'm here every week and I'm on Chris's show every week, and if you need to talk or if you want further, you know, if you want to talk further about this, my Gmail is barbaradelong@gmail.com. There will be no charge. Just call me if you need to talk, okay?
Thank you, Barbara.
You're welcome.
Thank
bye-bye
you.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you both. Bye.
Poor woman. I swear to God, these kids, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have one like that that got out of control with me, too. And I had to have the cops come in and take him out.
Well, it, you know, it happens. And sometimes, you know, we're not supposed to be victims. We're supposed to be in control of our own reality and our own destiny. And sometimes mothers especially forget that. And we let our children step in where they don't belong. And,
yeah,
and
I mean,
so,
there's got to be boundaries with these kids. And I even hear now, many years later, oh, do you remember when you kicked me out when it was snowing out? I was like, yeah, and that was the best day of my life. And you remember when I had no place to live? Yeah, that was a good time for me, you know? Like, get lost.
Yeah.
If you think you're going to raise your hand to your mother and you think you're going to, no, call 911, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think you have greater strength than she does, though.
I know. She's so, like, beaten up.
Yeah. And she's got great strength. It's just a matter of claiming it. And it's a scary thing to stand on your own two feet and to say, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, not for me, because I was always like that when I was a kid. I was always standing up for myself and everybody else. I tell you, it's in the gene pool. You know, either you got it or you don't. You can develop it, but when you've been acting like, I've been acting like this since I was a tot, you know? So, I got to tell you a quick story. My father had all kinds of jobs, and we lived in Newark, New Jersey. Have you heard of Newark, New Jersey?
I'm from New York, yes.
Okay, so you know Newark. So we lived there when I was very young in an apartment. And my brother was like 13 months younger than me. We were like Irish twins, and I was always taking care of him. My father said he was driving a truck one day, and he saw this little girl, and she was in the middle of a circle of boys, like five boys. And she had her coat folded very neatly, and I used to wear pinafores a lot. Do you remember the pinafores that went over their dresses? Little white pinafores? I love those, and little white socks. And, you know, this little girl was taking on one at a time, beating one boy up, and then the next one, and that was me. And I said, Dad, why didn't you, like, stop? He goes, I was just watching, just to see how you were doing, and, you know, and I was very proud of you. I was like, that's my girl. So that's how I grew up. That's my girl, you know. So I've learned to stick up for myself, you know, at a very early age, and it just was in my gene pool. You know, nobody taught me that. No, you know, so I think that either born with that inner strength, and I think some people can have the spirit knocked out of them too, but you know, she's really in a bad place, and I would feel much safer for her if she would get someone in there, like a man figure, you know, an older man, to help her. So.
Oh no, yeah, or somebody like you.
Oh, I was working for my son. This is funny. It's not really fun. I'm sharing like with the world here. He's an architect and a glass designer. He actually, you know, Richard Branson, Virgin Airlines, he designs buildings for him and things like that. But at the time, he was just starting his business, and I was working behind the counter helping him out, which is the worst thing. You should never help your kids out in their business. You stay out of their business. But he was giving me some back talk, and I had a can of Raid there because it was summertime. And I ran after him with the Raid, and he locked himself in the bathroom. And I said, come on out. This is what we do with cockroaches. So everybody started laughing. All his workers were like, go get him, you know. And he was like, Ma, you're crazy, you know. But, you know, so everybody was laughing. They're going, Mrs. Mackey, go get him. Because he was like, you know, like a tyrant with his employees. And I guess they were all, you know, but he says, Ma, do you remember the time you chased me with the Raid can? I go, uh-huh, you know. We laugh about it now, but, yeah, I have three boys, and they still, to this day, if I get angry with them, you know, if they get out of control sometimes, and they're older, and I'll say to them, don't even start with me, and they're like, okay, Ma, you know, but you got to put the fear of God in them a little bit, don't you think?
Every now and then, yeah. I tried to sell my son to the gypsies, but they wouldn't take him. I spit on the front stoop. I said, gypsies, to chickens and a pig. Cheap. He'll live with the pigs. He's comfortable there. I mean, you know, and he actually picked me up and carried me back inside. He said, oh, don't do that to me. But,
oh,
you know, I said, then clean your room.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got Ivitar here. Hi, Ivitar. How are you?
Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I'm back.
Hi, Barbara. That was really a funny story. You had me cracking up there.
Oh, about
selling
the can
of the gypsies?
No, the spray can, the rake.
Oh, the spray can with the rake.
Why?
Yeah. You got to really, you know, be outrageous with kids. You got to be crazier than they are, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like you said, put that fear in them. They'll know where their boundaries are.
Exactly.
One would hope.
Well, I have a question about, I'm a collector, and I've been collecting for a long time, but I'm getting a chance to actually go to the Antique Roadshow, something I've been wanting to do for a long time. And, you know, I have some items in mind that I want to take.
Yeah.
So... And my brother, I have a piece that my brother gave me to do some research on, and we're taking that. So I was wondering what you guys may be picking up on that.
Oh, my God. Is this the one on television?
Yeah.
You're going to go there?
Yeah.
Where is it going to be held?
In Chicago.
Oh, that's great. I watched that show. You're talking about that show, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I watch it too. I love it.
Oh, my God. I love that show. So, do you have, like, a vase or something like that?
Yeah, this one particular vase, it's hand-painted, and I bought it at an estate sale along with three other pieces, and since then, one other piece I sold, and, I mean, it was irreplaceable, and I still today, to this day, I don't know the value of it.
Yeah, I'm getting that might be valuable, though. I'm getting this. Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
You're getting the hand-painted
yeah,
box.
Yeah. Does it have a markings on the bottom of any kind?
Yeah.
What's the markings? Tell me.
Oh, God, I don't – it's downstairs.
Oh, forget it.
It says mono. I thought it was mono art, but it says mono or mono.
Mono. Did you look it up on the internet?
I've tried to look this up, and I've never been able to find anything. I really don't think it's American. It may not be American.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either, but I think that's valuable. That's what I'm getting. I hope I see you on the show.
Now, is there a piece of jewelry? Is there a piece of jewelry, too?
Well, I have several. I have so much jewelry, and I don't know what's...
There's a pin. Yeah. There's a pin.
A pin? Sterling?
I know there's a pin. I can't tell you whether it's sterling or not, but there's a pin that's really old and frankly pretty ugly, but that's the one I'd take.
Okay.
Mm.
So what about my brother's piece? He has a piece that he's taking, and I was going to give him additional. I have some salt shakers. I have a whole collection of salt shakers.
Mm-hmm.
And one particular set is really, really old, and I was wondering if I should give him, you know, because you can only take two items.
Are you going to take the vase?
Yeah, I'm going to take the vase, and I'll look through the jewelry, but I do have some other small vases that are oriental, and they have signatures on the bottom of them. They're all different. They're all shaped different, but they're miniature.
No, I'm getting the bigger one, And what does your brother have?
He has this, it's like a notepad. It's sterling on the top, and I think it's onyx on the bottom. But these notepads had something to do with the Holocaust or Hitler or something like that. With
oh,
the Holocaust.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I think it might be worth something, yes. Definitely with that, but I'm going to go with my first psychic impression, and I get the vase.
Yeah, I'd agree
okay.
with you.
So Okay.
In the pen.
Yeah, I don't know what she's. I don't see the pen. She sees the pen. You're getting like a double whammy over here, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you on the vase. My first thing was the vase. I was, I'm 100% behind you on the vase.
Okay.
But then I got a pen as well. So,
okay.
Should be interesting. And let us know, please.
That would be great.
I will let you know. And thanks to the both of you. I'm really enjoying the show.
Oh, good.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
I have some more Mommy Dearest stories. You want to hear them? That's a joke,
sure.
Barb. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous, Barb.
Oh, I can throw them out too, but sure. Well,
oh, okay.
I just got back from visiting my son and my grandchildren, and I truly strongly believe that family and fish go bad after 3 days. So
please. Oh, no. I can't. No. I couldn't live with my kids. I am so glad. God, please keep me healthy so I can just keep working and live by myself with my cat, my cat Mercedes. I think they're jealous of the cat, to tell you the truth. Like, that damn cat, get rid of that cat. I'm like, I love this cat. This is the daughter I never had. What?
I have eight of them, so.
You have eight cats?
Yep.
Barbara.
One kid and eight cats.
You have just one child?
Yeah, it's just one, yeah.
Just one? Okay.
72 hours of labor, I had one kid. I wasn't going back for seconds.
Barb, I can out-labor you because I was in labor for 3 days and given the last rites, and I was in ICU and isolation. They had to come in with masks on, and I had sepsis. I was dying. Yeah, my son was dying. They baptized him. Everybody was crying. I was hallucinating. I was like, oh, everybody's so happy. They're crying. I was like 18 years old. Oh, I'm dead. Oh. And the priest. And the priest comes to say hello. He makes hospital calls. Oh, man. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was in the hospital for a month, and the doctor came in and he said, and I was young, and I was screaming, give me a C-section. I was crawling around on all fours, and nobody would listen to me. I should have had a C-section. And the doctor said, we don't know how you lived. It was a miracle. And, and I had two more kids after that, so call me crazy,
Crazy.
Crazy. Crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. Yeah.
Okay, we've got another mother here. We've got Kim in Atlanta. Hi, Kim. How are you doing today?
Hey, Barbara. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. What's up?
Well, speaking of sons, this is actually about my son. I have him at the school where I'm teaching, and I no longer want him there. And I really want to take him and put him in a private school or a better school than where I am right now. And I was just wondering if I could get any direction on that.
Why do you want to get him out of the school?
Well, they have a drug problem at my school, first of all. And then the type of students that are there are not a good influence for my son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd get him out of there. If you can afford it, do it. Can you afford it?
Not at the moment. I'm looking into scholarships. There's one school that reached out to me, and I'm going to see what's going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, yeah. I'm well acquainted with Atlanta. Where do you live in Atlanta?
I'm in Tucker.
Okay, well, is it close to Roswell or no?
30 minutes from Roswell.
Okay, okay. I would definitely get him out of that school. Bad, bad, bad news there, and I would try to get him into. And are you a single mother?
I am.
Listen to me. I think you could get some kind of help through the state, too. So
okay.
Look through the state programs and let them help you out. They're helping everybody else out, and your
okay.
kid needs help. And since you're a single mother and you're working your rear end off to put a roof over both of your heads, you know. So I think you'll get some state aid. Apply for everything. What is your name?
Kimberly.
Kimberly? Mm-hmm. Kimberly, listen, there's programs out there that can help you. And definitely you want the best for him. And I think he's going to be a successful human being. I just see this in his future. He's got a lot of good qualities about him, and he doesn't need to be around that trash. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
I agree. I agree. I think that another school would be a good idea for him. And not only that, but to get him out of the school you're teaching in is also a good idea.
Right.
Because
I agree.
That's not a good thing to have him in the same school. I mean, yes, you can keep an eye on him. Yes, you can check out his teachers. But at the same time, you make him paranoid too. So.
Thanks, Barbara.
No problem.
Okay. Will do. Okay. I will definitely do that.
Okay, we'll keep in touch.
All right. Thank you. Thank you both.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I met her on somebody else's show it's a long time ago now, and everybody was telling her what a great teacher she was, and I got on and I went, on and on about, she was a fabulous teacher, but she was in the wrong profession, and she said, "You're absolutely right." And
that's funny.
So she's I think going I think she signed up for chiropractic school, and as soon as she gets in, she'll start going, and that's where she belongs. But
yeah, everybody, when my kids were little, I used to think the teachers were always right. If they said it, they must be right. But then I got an inner glance to what some of them were really like, and they called me in on my youngest son, and they said, "He's very mature, and I want you to stand in the back of the class here, and I want you to look at all these desks, and you tell me which one is Brian's." I said, "The one that's a mess." And she said, "That's right." I go, "So?" She goes, "Well, he's very immature, and he's messy." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I just wrote a state law, and I spoke in front of the Senate. I'm always in the newspapers. I'm always doing something. I'm going to run for councilwoman. And I put on my husband's underwear today because I couldn't find my own because I'm so, disorganized. I couldn't even find my own underwear." I said, "So you're going to tell me that this kid is not going to make anything of himself because his desk is messy?" And she just looked at me. She goes, "You have your husband's underwear on?" I go, "Yeah. I couldn't find my underwear."
Well, so, often it's more comfortable, too.
Yeah, exactly. But I, after a while, I was like, come on, please. Some of the teachers are meant to be, and I can tell you, when I went to school, there weren't too many teachers that I really thought were great, and some of them stick out in my mind. But I was basically, as a kid, bored with school. I would have rather been going to the School for Performing Arts in New York City. To me, that would have been, it would have suited me, because I was bored with school. Some kids love it. They just love to go to school. And I really, in the beginning of my life, when I went to kindergarten, I was like, I'm so happy to be in school. But then I got bored with it, and they were like, she's really, bored with this whole process, going back to teachers, some of them, go ahead.
No, I taught for 25 years. And my philosophy is now that no teacher should teach more than 5 years, because for the first 5 years, everybody is full of enthusiasm and joy. And after that, they burn out.
You're burnt.
Some take longer than others, but I taught special ed. So I lasted longer because, it was constantly a challenge, and it was literally a one-room schoolhouse because you had all levels of everything. And I literally in 1 year taught ABCs to one student and algebra to another. So it did challenge you. But after a while, especially if you're in a traditional classroom, you're teaching the same thing over and over and over again. And it's boring.
It's like water being Chinese torture.
Yes.
Now, I don't believe in homework. I do not believe in homework. I think the kids do enough at school. if the teacher's doing their job properly, the kids don't have to go home for hours and do homework. I think it's the lazy way out. That's my feeling. You might not feel that way. You taught, but I think they do. You know, they get up early. They're in school all day. I mean, why? You know, give the kids a break. Let them go home and rest a little bit and start the next day. The kids now have a tremendous amount of homework. And,
well, and you know, let's be totally honest. Aside from reading and fundamental math, and I mean fundamental math.
Yeah, like 2 and 2 is 4, yeah.
Yeah. How much of what you learned in school, and I've had dozens of years of it, I have used nothing.
I know.
I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, college, I guess, among other things, teaches you how to think or live independently. I don't know what it is, but the courses they have to take, the stupidity they cram into these kids' heads is ridiculous.
Yes.
And as an adult, if you're interested in history, you're going to learn it. You're going to learn it on your own. You're going to read the books. You're going to look into it. You're going to Google it, and you're going to read it. And as far as I think I did take 3 years of architectural design and mechanical drawing, and I used that, especially when I designed the deck of cards that I did, because I had to use
so
the compass and the ruler.
Yes.
But aside from that, nothing.
Well, I feel
absolutely
the same way. I mean, I learned absolutely nothing in school. I didn't do my homework. I crammed for exams, you know, to bring my marks up. You don't want to ask me about my school days. I was never there. I was constantly, you know, out of school playing hooky because to me it was drudgery. I was like, I wanted to go to sleep every day. Nothing kept me awake. Nothing was stimulating for me. So I just didn't belong in school. I belonged where I could sing, dance, maybe do some studies. And, you know, every kid is different. They have a different fit. And I think they should be taught what they like,
what interests them. Yeah, but, you know, and yes, you've got a great point there. But you know, so many people, I mean, there was a lawsuit not long ago where a kindergarten or a preschool was being sued because they weren't preparing kids for college. And
get out of here. Really?
No, true, really, yeah. And,
oh, this
and so,
is crazy.
So, you know, the thing is, when you're born, you have certain things that you have a passion for, and those are really the things that you should be looking at as far as a career goes. And if at that age you are allowed to pursue them and to go into them, as you go along, you're going to learn how to balance a checking account. You're going to learn how to, you know, work with your money, and to require degrees, you know, high school or you know, the GPS or whatever that is. No, that's not GPS, but the
I know.
GED.
GED,
Or a master's degree. I have 2 master's degrees. I mean, come on. It was crap. I afforded to buy them piece of paper, and I put the time in. Nothing, absolutely nothing did I ever use. Now, did I learn how to research? Did I learn how to think independently? No, I did that on my own, and that's what I used in my life. So, you know, I mean, please hope neither of my grandchildren ask what I think about education, because I'll tell them.
Oh, please. No, I think the fondest memories I have of school was English. I loved English. Don't even ask me why, because I'm a writer. I produce now, and I write screenplays and whatever. But I always was a writer. I loved to diagram. I know people would think that's crazy. Remember you used to diagram a sentence?
Oh, yeah.
On the blackboard, And I understood all that. I couldn't add 2 and 2. I was very bad with math. So I was very right-brained, not left-brained. But I could, you know, I loved art and theater and music. So that was my passion as a kid. And you could integrate the other stuff. But my son loved designing cars. And now he's a designer. So, you know, he designs buildings and things like that. So I think they should do that for each child. My other one was a softball nut. He was a, you know, he could care less. He loved sports, you know. And then the baby loved music. So, you know, they're going about it the wrong way. They're putting these kids to sleep during the day. You know, it's like
And kids,
you agree,
today,
right?
Oh, totally. And kids today, I mean, we have now this generation of what do you want to call them, indigo star children, whatever, who are so aware of where their real talent lays. And
yes.
if you work with those, I mean, when I was growing up, I loved to paint, and I painted the deck of cards. I loved to, you know, teach my animals and stuff like that. And I ended up a teacher, mm-hmm. and I did church services for everybody. You know, I was really good at the funerals for the pets. And I became a minister. So, you know, it's sort of like those were the things that as a child I had a calling for.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
If you let a child develop in the way that they're meant to, with the skills and the talents they bring into this lifetime,
they're going to excel. I think they will excel.
And you have happy people.
Exactly. So a bunch of, you want to know why people are depressed? They're in jobs that they hate because, you know, it gives them 401k and hospitalization mm-hmm. and insurance, and they hate their jobs. You know, I never fit in any place. The only place I ever fit in, I was a caretaker when I worked in a hospital when I was going to school at the same time. It was in the 60s, and they let me do everything because they knew I was going to be a nurse. And I used to take care of the terminally ill. They were dying of cancer. I was on mm-hmm. that ward, the surgical ward, and I used to hold their hand and give them ice chips, and they'd wait for me to die. I'd put Vaseline on pads because they were, like, all bony and everything. And I would talk to them and wrap them up and take them downstairs to the morgue when they would die. And I didn't have any idea what I was doing, but I was a caretaker. And I loved the art of healing. I had the touch of healing. I could heal people. So I was a healer, which I was so unaware of. And then, I really had no job when I was married. I was married for 21 years, and I had the children, but I was in theater. I love theater. And so the things that I really loved, I excelled in. And the psychic work, never in a million years did I ever think this was going to happen. This came out of the blue. I mean, believe me, you know.
I believe you. But
yeah.
while I'm believing you, we've got Jennifer here.
Okay.
We've got to keep going.
Hello.
Jennifer.
As always, Barbara, it just, your show. Wow. I'm blown away.
It has a life of its own, doesn't it? It has a life of its own.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Yeah, really. Yeah, my head is really tingling. I would like to see if anybody else, would like to give me a message from Spirit.
Mm-hmm. What's your name again?
My name is Jennifer.
Oh, Jennifer. Okay. Do you smoke cigarettes?
Well, yeah.
I can hear it in your voice, you know? I just wish you wouldn't smoke cigarettes.
I'm trying.
Because, you know, it's like your lungs are taking a beating, you know? If you could do that, that would be great.
Yeah.
I'm concerned for your health.
Yeah,
you know?
That's an issue that I'm working on.
I get a woman right away. Is your mom passed?
No, not my mother.
Well, why I get this woman around you? Do you know who that could be?
Could be quite a few people, elderly woman, maybe grandmother or great-grandmother.
Who's Mary?
Mary?
Yeah.
Mary?
Yeah.
Oh, no, not again.
Not again.
Yeah, I just, for some reason, I just get more and more people, and it's just another puzzle to work on, but I usually do figure it out. But you just keep going with what you got, and I'm sure
Well, do you know a Mary from the past?
Well, I know a lot of Marys.
Well, give me a for instance, so I'm not like a blind leading the blind here.
Well,
who is this person I'm picking up?
Well, I know. Oh, I mean, I know tons of Marys. The first one that comes to my mind was when I was a teenager, and I happened to know her. She was a friend of a friend's, but I happened to, you know, be like intertwined with their family. That's the first Mary that came to my mind.
Uh-huh. And she's passed?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, maybe that's the one that's coming through. Was there another Mary that passed?
You know what? I couldn't tell you. Like I said, there's
okay.
I,
well, maybe it's this one because, and you were close to this person?
Not really close. I mean, I really, you know, I mean, I felt for her. But if you just give me the clues, I'm sure whoever it is will come through. If
I don't know. I just got this woman around you, and her name was Mary, so I don't know why I'm getting this. And, you know, I consider myself a DNA reader, meaning
right.
that anything that you've experienced is, you know, experienced in this lifetime. It could be something when you were 4 years old, 5 years old, 2 years old.
Right.
It's in your DNA. It's like an imprint. So I pick up these messages even from, you know,
right.
different centuries. So I don't know why I was getting this, and this is so weird.
Well,
why am
you know,
I get, what?
Go ahead.
Why am I getting licorice?
Licorice?
Yeah.
Licorice.
Like black licorice.
Black licorice. Is that my mother?
Was she always chewing on? Is she always chewing on licorice?
I think my mother likes. I know she. Yeah, she likes black licorice. She used to like black licorice. And you know what? Just yesterday and the day before, the name Mary was coming to my head.
It was?
Yeah, I get that. I get that a lot lately. But so
maybe I'm picking up your thoughts. See, very often when people come to me for readings, they
right.
say to me, what are you getting? And I tell them, and then I'm like, well, maybe I'm just getting your thoughts. I'm picking up your thoughts because I'm telepathic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I, but I'm picking up, and I picked up your mother. Your mother's still alive, you said?
Yes.
So I'm picking up black licorice, and I know it sounds weird, you know, but it's like little messages being deciphered, you know, but
uh-huh.
this girl that passed away, she wasn't that old, correct?
No, she wasn't.
So,
she was young.
Yeah, and somebody that had polio or something like MS or something with their legs with braces on it, who's that?
Polio, braces on their legs.
Something like that. I hope I'm not getting like somebody else that's calling in. I don't know. I'm just getting, what I'm getting is a message like, you know, I can hear a wheezing in your chest,
mm-hmm.
and I really, Jennifer, I can't even express to you that you're going to just be walking around with an oxygen tent. So you've got to really get help. If anything, you wanted to know about somebody that's calling from the other side. But the
mm-hmm.
message that I'm getting for you today is your health and having emphysema. Or even something even worse. So please, this is like, you know, a call to you to please change your life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're calling for something, but I'm giving you what I need to give you, okay?
Okay.
Do you have anything to say?
yeah, I do. I absolutely agree with her. And I know how hard it is to get off stuff that you've been, that has been a friend for you, but sometimes friends can become a cancer, and that means people as well as cigarettes. But you know, I'm preaching to the choir here, so I'm not going to go there. But I'm getting an Aunt Meg, and I don't know whether you have one or not, but there is an Aunt Meg standing in front of you. And I don't know if she's do you have one?
I don't know, Barbara. Every time I talk to you or somebody else, it's somebody new coming through, and I've been picking up the pieces. It's flowing
okay.
like the river over here.
This is an Aunt Meg, and I don't know where she hangs on your tree, but I know for sure she does. And she's got a set of scales in her hand, and she's saying that it's really important that you weigh everything carefully because you seem to be, she is saying you are way too spontaneous about how you react to situations, that you should step back, take a breath, and really weigh things a little more carefully before you let your mouth go off, before you're how do they put it? Mouth go off before your head's in gear,
right,
type stuff. And she's talking about situations that are right within the next couple of weeks. So it's really important that you step back, you weigh things. There's also an Uncle Michael here, and they're actually giving me, you know, relationship or something. This is an Uncle Michael, and it feels he's back. He's hanging there too. He's right on your tree. And it feels like he had been in service, because there are people around him in uniform, but that's just a signifier. That doesn't really mean it. He says he cruised through the service, whatever it was. He didn't see action or anything like that, but he played it for all it was worth. He also is talking to you about things that are coming up in the next 2 weeks. Things are coming to a head in the next 2 weeks for you, and it's really important that you make sure you take care of yourself. And you not really put everybody else first, because you do that often. And mm-hmm. you almost jokingly, it's almost a joke to you that you kind of flip it off, well, everybody else comes first because that's how I am. Reality is you need to change that, because if you don't take care of yourself, you aren't going to be able to take care of anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very good and interesting.
Okay.
I will... I'm sure I'll put the pieces together with these other things, too.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I'm
well,
sure. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye now. Okay, got... I have to tell you, I have the coolest callers ever. They are just people that are just so delightful to read. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, where are they from, by the way? All over?
All over the world.
Yeah, because you know when they call where they're from, as far as their area code and things like that.
Well, the area codes do, but a lot of these are regular callers that call all the time. And they're from all over the world. I mean, I'm telling you, it's all over the world here. So this next one, you're going to enjoy. Her name is Queen. And she comes from heaven. So, hi, Queen, are you there? Queen? Queen, are you there?
I am. I put myself on mute. Can you take me next? I'm in the store. I'm checking out. These people actually wanted to talk to you. No, I'll talk to you now. How are you, Barbara and Barbara?
We're fine. You're on the air with Barbara and Barbara. How can we help today, Queen?
Well, one of the times I spoke to you, Barbara DeLong, you told me, you mentioned the name Howard, and I said, I don't know who you're talking about. I was looking at an old phone book, and I ran across the name of Howard. And I just wanted to know if he had anything to say to me now, if he might come through again. And also, the other Barbara, since she's a writer, I would be interested in any insights she would give me in that arena.
Okay, Barb.
Okay, I'm trying to, you know, get her vibration, and it's kind of like fading in and out. She's on the cell phone. What did you want to know about writing?
She writes as well.
Oh, she writes as well? Oh, okay. Did you ever do a column?
No, not yet.
I think you should do a column. I think you have a lot to talk about. You have a lot of opinions. And I think that, you know, they could be very comical and sarcastic and very very good. I think you could do that. Does that make sense?
Well, it's definitely something to explore that I hadn't considered. And a column, it's almost like, as you're saying that, I'm seeing writing in a column style, which is something that, you know, it's truly possible as well.
Well, are you doing a column style writing now?
No, it's just like being put to, you know, it hasn't been put into a format yet.
Okay, let me put it this way. I'm going to give you a suggestion, and I did a creative writing course years ago before I knew that I could really write. You know, before I was paid to write, which people pay me, I took a creative writing course, and boy, did that help. And I didn't, you know, I was doing run-on sentences. My punctuation was off. I couldn't put the sentences together correctly. I knew what I wanted to say. Have you ever done that, taken a creative writing course?
No, I haven't.
I think it would be a great idea. And you can explore new ideas, and it brings out the best in you. You need to have someone stand over you and say, this is your assignment for tomorrow. And it'll put you to work, because I think right now you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're saying you want to write, but you're not doing it. Do you understand?
I do.
So,
you
know, you could say, you know, I'm writing, I love to write, but you're not really doing it. So I found out when I went to the class that someone was standing over me and saying, taking his red pen and putting it right through my sentences, and I was like, I can't believe what he's doing here, you know, that he's like scratching everything out that I just wrote. But it taught me how to put sentences together. I had the skill. But it really was an eye-opener, and that's what you need to do, and you need to stop talking about it and do it.
I heard that. I'll accept
okay.
that. And I also, I heard
I
you say you get paid for writing, and that's a wonderful thing. How are you able to do that?
Honey,
and you also write screenplays.
Yeah, listen, I've put years in. You don't do this overnight. I mean, I started writing, and then I got involved with newspaper writing. I did a column. I'm very aggressive, and I used to go to the newspapers, the local newspapers, and I say, I want to write a column. You know, I'm one of those that think I can do anything, and then I convince people I can do anything. Do you know what I'm saying? One of those, like, oh, I can do that. Can you fly a plane? Oh, of course I can fly a plane. You know, I'll say yes to anything, you know. But and they really couldn't resist the fact that I was so ballsy and just went in there. So what you have to do is, you know, really do the work. That's the only thing I can tell you. And you're not doing the work. You like the idea of writing, and, you know, you probably have a skill. I'm thinking you do have a skill, but you have to really sit down and do the thing. And as far as people paying you, like I work for the Learning Annex in New York City, and they paid me for doing dream interpretations. I was called the Dream Doctor. I did a column on that, and I interpret dreams. So you really have to hone your skills before you're going to get paid for anything, okay?
I thank you for your insight and sharing some of your path with me. Thank you. And your smack on the behind as well.
Yeah, I'm great at that.
and also, Queen, somebody put in the chat room, which I think is a fabulous idea, a Queen blog, and whether you call it, you know, musings of a muse or amusing musings of a muse, or, you know, whatever kind of, you know, cutesy thing you want to title it, would be a good idea. It would give you a chance to get out there and get impact back, input back from other people. And, you know, that's a free thing. Also, you know, since I was so lucky with Howard, there's also a Fred here. Do you have a Fred in spirit?
Oh, here we go again. I have a cousin named Freddie. See, Howard, I figure he's old enough to have been in spirit, you know, but anybody can be in spirit. I don't know if it's Freddie or, if, you know, so yes, I do know a Fred.
Okay, well, this one's in spirit. So, because he comes through that door, I guess I want to put it. And he's talking about, basically I'm getting that you're thinking so much that you're forgetting to do. So that sitting and analyzing and thinking about how you're going to do something is a wonderful thing for a while, but you have perfected it almost to the mastery level, you know.
Okay, I hear that.
Okay.
It's time to act upon, take action on the act of doing, and I shall, and I appreciate both of you being there and, you know, shaking me up a little bit. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And a blog is a great idea. Everybody's doing blogs today. I think it's great, and you need to practice. You know, I sometimes have to force myself to sit behind that computer. I used to have a typewriter when I was very young. I loved to type. I can't type that well, but I, you know. And then I went to the electric. I started with the Underwood, the old typewriter. Do you remember those, Barb?
I do. I remember one too.
Yeah, the Underwood. Love that. I love to just hear that typing, the clicking. And then I did the electric type. Electric typewriter. I really didn't, and then I wrote a lot. I hand wrote because it came out very easy. Excuse me. But the computer, I wasn't crazy about writing with it. I didn't feel it, you know, like I felt with the typewriter or the handwriting. I had to get used to it. And now I'm getting used to it finally. I have to, you know, because that's the age of the computer. But,
yep.
If you don't want to go on the computer, hand write it. But I think a blog would be great. And,
oh,
and do it. And stop talking about it and just do it.
Well,
okay?
Actually, I have Dragon Speaks, and I'm taking my computer in to be fixed so that I can really – it needs to be fixed. I can't use my Dragon. So I like the idea of talking.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I have Dragon, too, but I never use it. I used it for a little bit, and then I never used it because the way I write, I'm like a painter. I write it and scratch it out. Write it, scratch it out. You know, turn it around. It's like drawing with me, you know. And so the Dragon would drive it crazy because I'd be like, take that out, put it here, you know, forget it. So anyway, do it. Just do it.
Like Nike.
Absolutely.
Like Nike. Thank you both.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Queen. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
So her name is Queen?
Yep, and she comes from heaven.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I know. Cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, we've got Anna here. Hi, Anna. How are you doing today? Anna, are you there?
Yes,
Anna,
I'm
one?
Here.
Okay, how can we help today?
Yeah, hi. I would like to know... you know, if you can guide me. I haven't heard from M for a while, and I'm wondering what is happening with him and if I'll hear from him soon.
Is he alive or dead?
M? Did you say M?
Yes.
Now, this is somebody who's alive, right?
Yeah.
And you don't want to say the name?
Matthew.
Okay.
I don't mind.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get a commitment here. You don't have a commitment with this person.
No.
I don't either.
You know, I think you're barking up the wrong tree here. I think
you need to move on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's like you're dreaming here. You're dreaming. You're living in another world with this. No. Mm-mm. Listen, if a man's interested in you, I'll give you a story. I was seeing this guy, and he was away on a trip, a canoeing trip for the weekend. And it was back, oh, God, how many years ago, in the 80s, and we didn't have cell phones. And he said, I will call you at a certain time. And he did. He called me right on time. And I said, well, where are you? He said, well, I'm on the canoeing trip, but I told him to pull the canoe over, and I ran to the nearest payphone. Now, that's dedication. That's a man that's interested. If a man's interested, they're like gum under your shoe. You can't get rid of them, okay?
Okay.
All right?
Sure.
All right.
Okay. Take it easy, Anna.
I am. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Are these regular callers?
Some of them. Not all of them.
Okay. Would you agree that men are like gum under your shoe, that you can't get rid of them if they really are into you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
if they don't call, then you move on. I think women in general, and I'm in that clump too. I fall into it often. You know, you really don't want to try on a lot of shoes. You want to get one shoe that fits and is comfortable and you wear the rest of your life. And you kind of always think that a person is that. And most of the time we get so caught up that we don't realize that we're the only person in the relationship. And So it's kind of like if they don't call, then you move on. You just, you know, you don't perseverate on it. You don't sit there and you know, worry about are they going to call or aren't they. If they don't call, you know, it's sort of like you set everybody free, and if they come back, then great, and if they don't, you hunt them down and kill them. That's all.
Listen, you know, I'm not like the usual dame. There ain't nothing like a dame, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I counsel women and I tell them, listen, you're off your rocker, first of all. Let me tell you, and they start laughing. I go, you've only dated this guy twice and already you're making wedding plans? I don't understand that kind of thinking. But women go there. They mm-hmm. go there more than men because men aren't thinking that way.
Not
you
at
know
all.
That, right?
Yeah,
so women are thinking
think.
That way.
Yeah.
I just read something on Facebook. Wait a minute. Okay. Women are crazy and men are stupid. And stupidity makes women crazy.
Yes. Well, I often tell everybody that men are a different species. They aren't the same species we are. They don't think the way we do. They don't
no.
have emotions. Aren't the same as ours. They're a completely different species. And if you treat them as a different species, they're easier to understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what I'll tell you what they don't like, and I must have a lot of male genes in me, because one day it finally dawned on me. I mean, I've always been this way since I was a kid. I was not boy crazy. They were more crazy for me, and I was oblivious. I was like, I could care less, you know. But I wasn't setting up housekeeping, and I got married very young to get out of the house, you know, because I thought, well, you know, I'll do this, you know. That's
mm-hmm.
the way I thought then, very immature. But when you say to a man, what are you thinking? And they say nothing, well, they aren't thinking anything.
That's
get it
true.
Through your head, ladies. They're not thinking anything, okay? So I remember being on a trip with a female friend, and she's staring at me, and I'm just, like, looking out the window. She goes, what are you thinking? And it went off in my head, like, this is what a man must feel like. Like, I just looked at her, and I was like, I wasn't thinking anything. I was just staring out the window. I was just appreciating the scenery. What do you mean, what am I thinking? Get out of here. Leave me alone. I just want to be alone in my thoughts, you know? But I tell women, just because you dated someone twice, don't pick out the china and the silverware. You know, that's insane.
Or book
the
room.
And don't run after them. The more you run away from them, the more they run towards you. You got to learn
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard one. We've still got a number of people here, so let's hit as many as we can. We've got
Which
Jill.
Time is
Hi.
It? I don't even know. I'm like in another world here.
Yeah, we got
Hello.
Minutes. Hi, Jill.
Hi, thank you.
How can we help today, Jill? This is a regular.
My question is I made a connection with a woman in Hawaii, and we talked about working together. Do you see that happening?
No. I don't see
no.
it. Uh-uh. That was my first impulse.
Do you think she's too busy?
I just think that she makes too many promises. And she can't keep them. That's my feeling. I don't know where it comes from, but it came out of my mouth.
Okay. Do you see me connecting with her again at all?
You could connect with her, but I just feel that she's flaky, that she's like, she promises to a lot of people, but she doesn't deliver. Like, she talks a good game, but she's got so much going on. That's my feeling. Barb, what do you get?
Yeah, is this in connection with animals?
No.
Is this in connection with business of some sort?
No, she's more of a, she does blessings, Hawaiian blessings.
Oh, Jill, don't do this.
Because?
No, this doesn't feel right.
Okay.
I feel that if not initially, at some point, you're going to be asked to put up money.
Okay.
And that's not a good thing. No, it's not as spiritual as you think it is. and it feels as though it's something that is going, you're going to put money into that you'll never see again.
Okay.
Is, has
earlier
money been
on,
mentioned?
Earlier on, you said you saw Robert, and I know one that's passed. Do you think that was for me?
Probably. That's the way it works.
Okay.
When you're on radio, like I had my own show with CBS for like 6 years, and then I've been in radio for like 30 years, and this very often happens. I will get the person that's next in line because it's electrical, like I'm getting it in the air. So, yes. Was Robert close to you in any way?
Yeah, he was my father.
Oh, okay. Well, then he came through for you today.
Okay, because he was called Robert.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good. Then he came through for you today. He was trying to make himself known. He was fighting to get through here.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Jill, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Okay, we've got Karen here. Hi, Karen. How's it going today?
This is Patty, actually.
Oh, hi, Patty. Yes, you're right. You are Patty. I clicked the wrong. It must be. I must be meant to go to you.
I guess so. I don't know. Anyway, hi, Barbara and Barbara.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling today about a certain situation that happened to me. I'm very connected with my own spirits. But yesterday I felt a connection with another spirit of this friend that I know. And so I was feeling it, and I just decided to go for it. I mean, I felt like I was supposed to, and I don't do that. I've never done that. And so I told her, and she's very open-minded and in understanding of that stuff, too, of, you know, mediumship and stuff. But I'm wondering, did I do the right thing? Was it real?
I'm not really. Okay, explain this to me. I'm like, what is going on here now? What did you do?
Oh, I connected with the spirit of that is, well, it was around this, that I felt was around this person.
And oh, okay, and you told this person that you did?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I felt like they would be accepting of it, and I felt almost like I was supposed to do that.
And were they accepting of it?
They were.
So what's the question?
I mean, they seemed to be.
So what's the question?
The question is, was I supposed to, and was I actually making a connection? Because I'm having doubts.
Okay, but did you tell this person the connection that you made and what was coming through?
I told them what I was feeling. But
and
I
what
said,
did they
well,
say? Did
I don't
they confirm?
Really do this. What?
And did they confirm that it rang true with them?
They did seem to confirm some things. I felt like I was picking up on their personality a little bit.
Yeah, so you're questioning yourself. Don't question yourself. I mean, I know it's easier said than done because some of the things that come out of my mouth, I'm still aghast at, and I can't believe I say some of the things that I say. I'm still,
yeah,
like, stunned. Like, I said that? Where'd that come from? So, you know, I wouldn't say that you had years of work in this area, so you're still questioning yourself, and I still question myself after all these years. So, no, I think that you were supposed to receive these messages.
Okay.
They came to you. I don't think you sought them out. Do you understand?
No, that's, yes. Yes, that's how
so,
I feel.
Exactly. So they sought you out, and you were supposed to do this and then tell your friend, and great. What's the problem? I think it's great.
Yeah, it's not a problem. I worry a lot about saying the wrong thing and offending someone.
No.
I mean,
first of all,
I've never given any type of message to anyone before. You know,
listen to me. You know, just settle down and just preface it with the other person that, you know, say, listen, I got this. I don't know if this is, I'm out of order. I don't know if I'm out of control. I don't know if I'm out of my mind. But this is what I got, okay?
That's what I did, yeah. And
I'm going to preface it with this. And don't get offended. You want to hear it or not? Can you handle the truth? You know, Jack Nicholson. So anyway,
yeah.
Just, you know, lay it on them. And I'd be happy to hear. I mean, you got anything for me, kid? I'd like to hear something. I mean, come on. Get going here.
Oh, gosh.
I'm snapping the whip over here. Come on, let's go. You got anything for Barbara and I?
Oh, not real. Oh, see, I'm so bad. I can't be
see?
Put on the spot. And
I know. I'm teasing
almost
you.
Never, I can't ever.
But see, you were meant to get
happened.
The message. You didn't seek it out. It sought you out. And you know what I think you should be doing? Automatic handwriting. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, automatic writing, yeah.
That's what you should be doing.
Okay. I was told that I should write down my dreams, so I've been doing that.
Yeah, but you need to do automatic handwriting, and that is like keep a journal and just have you done it where you just start writing and then you can't stop and the messages are coming through and then you read it and you go, who wrote this? Did I write this? And the messages come through. You're like a conduit, like a channeler. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah. I will try that.
Yeah, try it. And you should go to, you know, groups where you're with like-minded people and you practice. You
mm-hmm.
do psychometry. You read a piece of jewelry. That's how I started. When I first started, I read a piece of jewelry of one of my mentors, who I will give credit to, Edith Cantor, the great Edith Cantor. She was a tea leaf reader. She read crystal balls. The Reverend Helen Williams. She was wonderful with playing cards. They charged $10 for a reading. They were the greatest in the world. They were my mentors. I would see them once a week, would be around the table. I'd make tea for them. I'd go get the dog that she had, Butchie, some dog food. And, you know, I was like their little student. You need to be around people like-minded and start practicing. Okay.
Yeah. The good thing is, I'm finding a lot of people that are like-minded, not just over the internet, but now in real life too. And
yeah. Well, in real life is always better.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
In real life is always better. So
yeah,
do it.
Yeah.
Do it. You know, this is great. You're opening up, and you know, I think what I'm going to start to do is online classes. I think I'm going to do that. I do classes all over the place in person, but I think online I'm going to try and do. Barbara, have you ever done online classes?
Oh, sure. Pardon me, sure, and they're lots of fun. And Patty, when you get a little bit further along, not too much, but just a little bit further along, you check out Curious Times, check out Chris, because she has open mic night, and people who are just starting out get to you know, do readings for people and get feedback.
Good idea. Good idea.
Oh, I know. I'm a curious timer.
Yeah.
I'm on there almost all the time.
Well, that's a great place to start.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
And there's no judgment there unless you're a troll. So
no.
That's
what I love about it. Yeah. I love that.
Yes.
That people can just come on and you know, be comfortable and give it a shot. I think that's really neat. Do you get
mm-hmm.
any messages from Spirit?
For you? Sure. Yeah, I want to ask you, who's George? Do you have George in Spirit?
Not that I'm aware of.
I got a George here for you, and it's not George Washington. He said he's not George Washington. I know what it is. It has to do with your being truthful to yourself. And you know, when you get messages like you got, it's so long as you're not pulling a Teresa Caputo and going up to somebody in the grocery store and giving, you know,
yeah.
no answer a message, you're okay. Just be
right.
true to yourself. And you have wonderful judgment and capabilities here. So we've got to scoot because we're just about to go off. But thanks for calling, Patty.
Oh, thank you so much. That was
thank
good.
You.
I just needed that reassurance. That was
okay.
That was good. Thank you so much.
Okie doke. Bye bye. And Barbara, thank you so much
yeah.
today. This was a lot of fun.
Good.
We're gonna have to do this again.
Okay. Okay. I had fun too.
I can't thank you enough, and everybody who had readings thanks you, and I will get a hold of you and let you know what our numbers look like, too.
All right, good, great. Thanks, Barb.
Take care. Bye-bye
okay,
now.
Okay, bye.
And thank you, chat room, and thank you, everybody who called in. And I will see you all back here hopefully next Wednesday. This week there may be a Friday, Saturday show too, and then, of course, Sunday is Chris's show. So keep in touch. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.